I'm thinking that my microphone is plugged in and everything's working okay. If it's not, I apologize. Looks like it is. So, anyway, we're going to go on. the notion, and this is going to be a very important point here, in the ancient Roman, Ludicicolores, I'm horrible with my Latin, it's a celebration, coming into the age. You know, the secular games were actually the Olympics. They were called the secular games. In English, though, it's very important to know and understand what it means. When we're talking about what is secular, we're talking about in the cosmos in the Bible, where it's a reference to what's called humanism. Humanism, humanitarianism, that kind of thing. What is humanist or humanistic? And it's a very important word to understand because we've been tricked, fooled into thinking that humanitarianism is a good thing, when in fact it's actually quite the opposite. And I'll explain that. Humanism is the exclusion of belief in God from matters of ethics and morality. Stemming from the 1850s back, we won't get into that. So the exclusion of the belief in God for matters of ethics and morality. In other words, the exclusion of truth. The exclusion of nature and its law from ethics and morality. And that's where you get things like the Bar Association and other corporations, non-governmental organizations, governments, etc., because they exclude God in matters of faith. That's what legality is. Legal has no place. In other words, lies have no place in truth in God's creation. So, secularism. Doctrine that morality should be based on the well-being of man in the present life without regard to religious belief or a hereafter. To secularize a population from the 1600s, early 1600s, refers to property. To secularize means to become worldly, which, you know, we know what that means now. From 1846, it's referring to education, social institutions, and etc. So all the institutions that government has so graciously provided for us, from education to all the social crap that we're a part of now, social media, television, etc., is part of becoming worldly. In other words, part of becoming property of the new world order, this new order of secularism. Now, humanitarianism, or to be a humanitarian, a title, a fictional title, it means nothing, kind of like Christian, unless you're actually doing it. 1794, in the theological sense, means one who affirms the humanity of Christ, but denies his pre-existence and divinity. Now, in the Bible, Christ is constantly, I wouldn't say constantly in this case, but a few times he says, he was the father or the son of he was the son of Moses, he was the son of this, he was the son of that. In other words, he existed in the time of people who died before he was ever born, is the point. Because he wasn't just, he's not supposed to be taken as a man, he's supposed to be taken as a divinity. And so the Christian of today is a humanitarian, one who affirms the humanity of Christ but denies pre-existence and divinity. That's essentially what they've tricked you into believing. It comes from the word human, which means that which belongs to man, and Unitarian. By 1834... one who professes the creed that a person's highest duty is to advance the welfare of the human race. A philanthropist, one who advocates or practices human action to solve social problems. This used to be a very disparaging, insulting expression. Now we are tricked into thinking it's a good thing, just like we're tricked into thinking the word grocery means What, groceries? No. Grocery was a crime. It meant hoarding things and then selling them at outrageous prices. Does that sound familiar? Right? You go to your friendly neighborhood grocer who charges you outrageous prices and makes billions of dollars off your ignorance of words because you're stuck in this digital realm, right? So, what do we got? Oh, he's a humanitarian. Well, think about what that says. To advance the welfare of the human race. It's your duty to advance the welfare of the human race. What is a human? That which belongs to man. So what are we doing to nature? What are we doing to God, in other words? How are we treating the very thing that supports our actual existence? Our life? We're destroying it utterly to the point where it's not going to support us anymore because we don't fear, as they say, God. Fear is not a bad word. It just means, well, let's just put it this way. If I am on a cliff and I'm hiking and I have a 1 foot ledge that I'm hiking on and I look down and I get that fear, that phobia of falling, that's the fear of God. Why? That's the fear of the laws of nature. In other words, what we call gravity. I don't give a crap what you think gravity exists or not. It's a word. Right? That's the fear of God, the fear of actual reality, the fear of the law and laws of nature, the fear of truth, that if you don't act according to truth, bad things are going to happen. Well, guess what? That's humanitarianism. That's the Rockefellers. That's all these people you always talk about as evil. Why do we call them humanitarians? Why do we call them, what was the other word, philanthropists? Well, it's not a good thing, or at least it wasn't until they took our knowledge away, and we are, of course, perishing from our lack of knowledge. And when I say that, I don't mean digital knowledge. I mean our knowledge, our connection, our husbandry with nature, right? We're so concerned with marrying another person that we forget we're supposed to be married with the land, because that's what actually supports us. That's husbandry. True husbandry. I mean, look at the way we treat our livestock. It has a lot of quotes. Just look them up yourself. That the way that a people should be judged or a nation should be judged is the way they treat their prisoners and their livestock. Well, I don't recommend looking at the way. I mean, it's really harsh to look at the way we treat our livestock. And because of that, you should expect to be treated the same way, because essentially that's what you are. You see, because that's what people means to them. Their definition of peopling something is to stock, just like you would stock a river with fish or stock a farm with cattle. They have stocked the United States with commoners who basically they have passed laws that allow them to, oh, you know, do anything they want to us, including biological weapons, testing, oh, you name it, they could do it because we volunteer to be in that status. We're the goyim. I mean, that just means cattle to them. So it used to be a bad word, just like many words that we now accept as good. In the theological sense, affirming the humanity or human nature of Christ, having regard for the broad interests of humanity. See, that's the problem. When you think of Christ as human, you miss the entire picture. The story of Christ is a story of you. It is you who must overcome. It is you. You know, the Bible, it's so funny because the Bible says you must crucify yourself. Well, if that's the case, why aren't there more Christians hanging on crosses? Why is that? Well, it's because it's a metaphor. When Christ was crucified, it was his person, his legal status. Because he was born in nativity, which we all are. Nativity means to be a conchero, to be owned as property. You're born in a nation. You're born in humanism. You're born in secularism. That's the birth process, the birth certification. So the crucifixion of Christ, again, a metaphoric term. The story is there for added effect, of course. But if you actually read the Bible and decipher the terms as they were written, you could compare it to putting up a public notice, nailing a piece of paper on the board, and actually says that in the Bible. nail your sins to the cross, nail your person to the cross. Right? That's what it's saying. He's giving up his legal identity. That's what it means. And all Christians, real Christians, those who follow Christ, in other words, follow the law of God, must do the same. We must give up this status. That's what it means. That's how it's translated. Of course, the king translated it in a way that you can never figure that out unless you do all the research. What is a humanist? Well, a study of the humanities. You learn that in college and education. One accomplished in literature and classical culture. Right? What, does culture have anything to do with nature? No. No. Study of human affairs or human nature. Well, what is human nature? Well, remember, a human means that which belongs to man. So it's essentially the study of secularism. There is no such thing as human nature. There's the nature of man, and there's the nature of man that is entrapped, enslaved in legalism or humanitarianism. The furtherance of the human cause against all other life and existence, against God, against truth. In this use, the original notion appears to be human, which means opposed to divine. That is, a student of the human achievements of the pre-Christian authors and philosophers, as opposed to the theological studies of the divines. Now, when we say the word divine, it's kind of like the word word, when we say word of God. You got to understand that the term word, the term law, and the term son all mean the same thing as used in the Bible. The Son of God is the law of God, is the word of God. What is the word of God? The truth. Anytime you say the truth, you're speaking the word of God. Anytime you lie or talk about legal fiction or participate in it, you are not saying the word of God or not participating in it, because it's the law. What is the law of nature? Truth. What is God? Truth. What is nature? Truth. Words are not truth. However, they can simulate the truth, and that's what we call the word of God. What is truth but scripture? There are plenty of scriptures out there. The Bible is not the only scripture. This new old learning had or was credited with a tendency to loosen the hold of the church upon men's beliefs. Humanist also gradually came to mean a free thinker. How many times do you hear that term? Oh, he's a free thinker. Do you really think that's a good thing? Because a free thinker is most often someone who's influenced by something that's not really good. I, folks, am not a free thinker. I am one who is influenced by truth and truth alone. And in order to understand that truth, I must understand the lie. You must understand what is something is opposed to before you can understand that thing. That's why I understand the legal system and I understand the Bible, because they are diametrically opposed. You cannot understand one without the other. What use is the Bible to you if you don't know the legal system, if you don't even know you're stuck and trapped in it voluntarily, that you can come out of it, that you can come out of her? That is Babylon. How do you possibly have any appreciation for the Bible when you think the Bible is religion, when religion has nothing to do with the Bible? Because religion is a corporation. A corporation has no soul. Can't be saved in a corporation, right? Can't follow the law in a corporation, because corporation is bound by legal law. To be humanistic, As in the Renaissance or classic humanism, which is where you get things like the trivium, where you get things like lawyers and attorneys and all these bad things. And that brings us to the word world. What is a world? Well, the noun version goes back to the Greek cosmos, which we just talked about, man's creation, as opposed to the nature, God's creation. In its ecclesiastical sense, the world of people, sometimes rendered in the Gothic as the seed of man. Again, that's what is created. And when you say something is seclorum, you mean worldly. So the new worldly order. Uh-huh, what does that mean? What does it mean to be worldly? Well, it means to be secular. Meaning a great quantity or number out of this world, surpassing marvelous and all these things. But most of all, it meant dead. Things that are dead. Well, a legal person, a citizen of the United States, is considered spiritually dead. Anything legal is spiritually dead. In other words, it's not of nature. So yes, that which is of the world is dead. That's why they call it a mortgage, a dead pledge. That's why they call you mortal. An immortal doesn't mean you're going to live forever. It means you're not in the mortal, the dead world. It's a spiritual concept. Of course, these freaks, these geneticists, which is another word for eugenist, the genetics professors, those crazy bastards, they want to live forever, and so they're trying to do just that. They're trying to be immortal in the humanist sense, not the spiritual sense. Death is a part of life. And that brings us to order. What is an order? A body of persons living under a religious discipline. Well, we know that the word religious doesn't just apply to a religion specifically. You can do a lot of things. I can smoke cigarettes religiously. I get up and have coffee religiously. Right? So legalism can be a religious discipline because you're following something religiously. It is your law. And that's why a Christian is not actually a Christian, because you're not following the discipline. You're worshiping the book, just like the Freemasons worship the three sacred books, the Bible, the Talmud, and the Quran. Doesn't mean they're following it, or if they are following it, they're following the bad parts, right? So anything can be a religious discipline. The concept of religiosity means you're doing something in a fashion that is, we'll say, an addiction. It is something you do without thought or without deep concern, without spirit, without life. That's the problem with religion. An order can be an estate, a rule, a regulation, or a religious order. So, obviously, they're trying to create a godless religion, right? That's the new world or secular order. It comes and it refers to rank, arrangements, routines. You used to call a row of threads on a loom, a sewing apparatus. You used to call it an order. Anyway, you get the idea. It also means a rank in the secular community. That's what order means. Command directive to keep us in order. Military has honorary orders, fraternities of crusader knights, right? They wear the patches, the mercenary patches, and they pretend to have honor as they, well, kill people who can't fight back from planes, from countries that don't have an air force, that kind of thing. A condition of a community which is under the rule of law. Well, what does the Bible say about the law of man? It says it will destroy us. The law is not a good thing. All right, man, we'll be back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
Alrighty, folks. Speaking of worldly things, you know, I used to be a sound engineer. I was a professional sound engineer and sound designer. I worked in Hollywood for several years until I figured out how extremely corrupt and corrupting what I was doing was. And it's funny because one of the basic rules of sound engineering, specifically when you're working on these big boards and stuff, is to follow your follow the flow. In other words, okay, my mic is plugged in to the board is plugged into the computer, and I just looked over there after a complaint was lodged against my my echoing voice, and I realized my damn board was not plugged in, which is just such a idiotic mistake, especially for someone who used to claim to be a quote-unquote professional. So I apologize for the first half of this show being a bit unclear. My bad. Please spank me with a wet noodle and all will be forgiven. Let's continue here. I gotta say, you know, reading some of these etymological definitions, it's pretty incredible to think that this is what we've fallen into, this order, as is the new world order, the secularism. Finally, we get to the notion of sequence. The word reflects a medieval notion, a system of parts subject to certain uniform established ranks or proportions. And the term itself was used of everything from architecture to angels to anything that had an order. Again, the threads on a loom were called an order. and it was a very popular word in this respect back then. We don't call ourselves an order, except that's what we are. As citizens, we are part of the uniform, or i.e. equal, equally punished under the law, in other words. That's what legal equality is. And we are the low rank, the base, the common, the general, the that which has no attachment to the land itself, those under the law of the sea, the admiralty, the international law, because we're not actually on the land. We're on a giant monopoly board. It's called a district. It's called jurisdiction. And therefore, we don't own anything. Everything is property of the state, as I've read before from court cases. That's our problem, is we've lost, we're not married anymore to the earth, to God, in other words, to nature, to the universe. We're not part of it. We're acting as if we're not a part of nature. And that's really, really the foundation of legalism, is to cause that to happen. The foundation of this new world order is to take us, to steal us away from our spiritual release, to take us away so that we cannot practice our religious beliefs, our moral beliefs. Our family values, you know, the word family actually means race, and that's what racism has done. It's made us not identify with our family. How can you have family values if you don't recognize race, which means family, bloodlines, right? You can't you can't claim that you're part of the free people if you can't claim that you have the same blood. That's how it is. That's, again, that's what attainder means in the Constitution. We've voluntarily given up our right to bear arms. Tell you what, I'm going to continue this. We'll go ahead and open the phone lines if anybody wants to call. I know it's been a while since I've talked to anybody in this fashion. Any questions? And if you disagree, I highly recommend that you have some source and that it's not just your personal opinion, because I'm not here to talk about personal opinions. I'm here to talk about all the research I've done and how this system works. When somebody, well, I should say, when I talk to you, I'm talking to you from the position of a judge. If I'm telling you about legal things, I'm not talking to you as a man. I'm talking to you as a man that has been roped in and tricked into acting as something he's not, a person, a status. And because you're acting in that status, you must follow the law of the creator of that status. You're using someone else's property. So that's how I'm going to talk to you. I know you don't like it. I know you like to hear the truth when it comes to, well, I should say the truth of the lie. The truth that, the truth, the honor among thieves, that kind of thing. But, you know, that's how it is. And if you don't know that, you're going to fail in court every time. You don't know the legal language, and you don't know the foundation of your own status, you're going to lose every time. And that's, I mean, we are a bunch of losers when you really put it that way, right? Let's go to, well, I'll tell you what. Worldly means secular, temporal, etc. Worldliness, a predominant passion for obtaining the good things of this life. In other words, money and things that are against the Bible. Covetousness, addictedness, to gain temporal, i.e. secular things. A worldling is what we really are, is a person whose soul is set upon gaining temporal possessions, things that are not of nature, one devoted to this world and its enjoyments, etc., etc., etc. Devoted to the acquisition of property, that kind of thing. See, the problem is there's no such thing as property in nature. So if God is your sovereign, it all belongs to God. If government is your sovereign, it all belongs to government. You can't have it both ways. Can't have two gods. Can't have two masters. We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Reaching for a dream of peace. To break the madness.
Alrighty, folks.
You know the
year on Republic Broadcasting, and this is the Deanna Spingola Show. I'm Clint Richardson filling in today. We're going to go to Ray in Oregon here in a second. I just want to get one last thing in here. And that is the Webster's 1828 definition of the word world. And it's very important. I want you to listen very carefully because, you know, in the time of Caesar, in other words, the Roman Empire, Caesar's in the Bible, it talks about the mark of the beast, 666, actually translates to Nero Caesar. That's pretty interesting in and of itself. However, so the mark of the beast is the mark of Caesar. In other words, Caesar, the reason they call it a Caesarian section, is because you're forcibly removing the baby from the womb, and so it's called a seizure. So the word Caesar means to be in or under seizure, and that's what the word district is. If you look up the word, district means seizure, distraint, and distress, legally. So it's very important to understand that, and that that's what you're in as a surety and in bondage to this person, this status that you've accepted voluntarily. And your whole point is to get out of that, to get out of that lower class, that common class, that secular class, and become, you know, a man of God. In other words, follow the true law, law of truth. So the word world refers to a secular life. By the world, we sometimes understand the things of this world, its pleasures and interests. A great part of mankind are more anxious to enjoy the world than secure divine favor. It refers to public life or society as banished from the world, the real world, that is. So public, how many times have I said the difference between public and private? I'm sure you're tired of hearing it, but it's important to understand that secularism, or the world of man, is public. If you're private, you don't have any part. You know, that's what the people are, private. Private. All their lives are not on the record. They're not citizens of the nation. They're the people. They're the states. They're not citizens of the United States. Business or trouble of life, the customs and manners of man, the practice of life, business, get a job, really? Because I'd rather work the land and feed myself. Is it essential? It's essential to politeness. Politeness and niceness, of course, are really bad things if you look them those definitions up. To be nice is, what does it mean to be ignorant and fake, I think, is the correct definition. So we're all nice, even though we want to... society is like a poker game. In a poker game, you pretend to like each other, you have camaraderie, but in secret, you want to kill each other. You want to rob and steal each other's money through the cards, and you got a dealer who's the government, and the dealer has a take, in other words, taxation of the game, and makes the rules of the game, and you have to follow the game in order to be part of the poker, part of the game, right? You have to destroy each other. I mean, the whole object of the game is to steal from each other, to harm each other, and the reason that's important is because the only thing that a government can control is harm. If you don't harm anybody, government has no operation, no reason. So it actually wants you to harm. That's the whole idea of gambling, especially in poker, is to harm the other, your neighbor, instead of treating your neighbor as you'd treat yourself. Imagine if the law said, love your neighbor, be charitable at all times, avoid money at all costs, no usury, no grocery, and forgive everyone of their sins or crimes. You'd have no courts, because forgiveness would defeat the courts. You'd have absolutely nothing. There'd be no gambling, because there's no money. There'd be nothing of this. We would just imagine living in that kind of love, true love, not sexual lust, but actual love. I don't think anybody of us can imagine it, because we've never experienced it, because we're all trapped in the secular New World Order, as they call it, right? The principal nations or countries of the earth are the world. Again, the United States is a secular thing. Alexander conquered the world. The Roman Empire. That's number 16. The Roman Empire. That's it. That's the definition of world. The Roman Empire. Remember I talked about Caesar, right? Well, that's the world. The world that is not of God, of nature. The carnal state or corruption of the earth as the present evil world. Course of this world, etc. The ungodly part of the world, number 20. And time, as in the phrase world without end. Now remember, there is no such thing as time. Money, there's no such thing as money. Money and time are the same thing. The wealthy pay for their crimes with money, and the poor pay for their crimes with time, which equals money. What is money but the labor of men personified or anthropomorphized into an exchange? So once the fact that you believe that the first and second hand of your watch tells the time shows how enslaved to the secular world you actually are. Let's go to our first caller. And again, I only ask that you do not berate me and the audience with faith-based arguments, that if you have something to say, please make sure it is sourced and true. Let's go to Ray in Oregon. Welcome, Ray.
Hey, Clint, long time no talk, or should I call you Your Honor?
No, please don't.
Well, you said you came with the judge. I'd throw that up.
Yeah, okay, good point. I am not a girl.
First of all, Clint, I wanted to tell you that I very much appreciate your work. I got your book years ago, read it, wore out a highlighter on it. I don't agree with all of your conclusions. Of course, we can't expect that, but I do very much appreciate your work. I'm listening to you over there now and again on UCY. Now, are you you're on a hiatus from over there right now?
Yeah, I found that I was spouting off a lot of stuff but not writing it down. And so I decided I was going to not do the radio and was continuing with the book. And then all of a sudden I realized I got to do with what's happening right now with the quote-unquote anti-vaccine movement. I decided to make part two of Lethal Injection my first documentary on vaccines, except this is about the whole industry, all the drugs and all everything that's basically destroying us. In fact, in the Bible, the word I can't remember, it's witchcraft or something, basically it says we'll be destroyed by pharmacopoeia is the actual translation. And that's what's that?
Pharmacia, right?
Yeah, pharmacopoeia, pharmacia. That's how we'll be destroyed.
Yeah, well, that's you know, you said something earlier about livestock, and I was interested in your take. That's come to me as far as the, I guess how I'd sum it up is keep not lest ye be kept.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of where is your thoughts on I guess vegetarianism now? What to, I won't eat any of the factory farmed meat. I was a meat eater all my life, but I've had to come to that conclusion that I can't eat the meat that they produce.
Well, pretty soon you'll be having meat that's grown in a tube. I don't know if you've heard about the fake or the meat that they're going to be growing, you know, without life. It's basically cancer. Cancerous growth of cells that they're going to call meat, and it's going to taste just like a steak because it's pretty much the same thing, except it's controlled cancer. And that's basically what's going to be the new meat. And I don't know if they're going to be required to tell you that's what it is. It's going to look just like a pork chop or a ribeye steak. That's the new, or a hamburger or some you know, strange Taco Bell ingredient, right?
That, yeah, McDonald's.
So
the other day, the Burger King released a in one of their restaurants. They're calling it the Unbelievable Whopper or something like that, and that's exactly what it is.
That and insect protein, if you can, you know, imagine that. So yeah, basically, and it's going to be 3D printed, by the way. So you're the rule stands for everything. So the answer to your question, in my personal outlook, would be, is it natural? Is it of the earth? Is it of God? In other words, of nature, or is it something man-made? Well, factory farming and what we're doing to, you know, injecting hormones and vaccines and all this crap, then no, it's not coming from nature. But then again, what are the vegetables? Where are you getting your vegetables? Because the same thing.
Yeah, you got to grow from heirloom seed yourself.
The whole plan is to basically destroy all life, recreating it so that it can be patented, the genes in your body, and so that just like the Monsanto seeds that are going, you know, hey, you have Monsanto seeds. They blew in on the wind. Therefore, we're going to sue you and destroy your livelihood. Well, what happens when you have a cancer or genes or anything that is patented, since they now allow you to patent life? You know, you have Monsanto life in you, which is now Bayer. You know, you have our genes in your body, therefore we own you. I mean, that's what they're saying about everything else in the world, and we're allowing it to happen. So why would you not expect, as peopled commoners who have no rights except what they give us and take away from us, why would you not expect that that's going to, at one day, that you're going to be so genetically altered from the food, from the geneticists, which are eugenicists, why would you think that that's not going to happen to your children at least?
Yeah, absolutely. Your talk with Patrick Jordan, he flat says that they pulled a gene out of us. They corrupted one of our genes, so now we're going to have some of their products to remedy that situation, right?
Yeah, you know, I recommend also a movie. I just happened to see it one day. It was called Repo. There was Repo Man, and there was a movie called Repo Men.
Yeah, with Jude Law. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Where, you know, they're, you know, it's one thing to be a an agent where you go around and you take people's cars because they haven't paid their debt. But what happens when you have a heart transplant and you have a corporation's heart in you, a metal piece of, you know, a fake heart, and you haven't paid your bills and you have the repo men coming and tearing it out of your chest? You know, that's the future that they're, I think, giving us. Yeah. So, I mean, the answer to your question is always going to be, is it true or is it Memorex? Is it false? Is it artificial? Is it man-made? Is it altered genetically? So the only real answer, I think, can be, you're right. Unless you know where your meat. I used to work on an organic farm, and we actually had Arab folks come over and do their religious ceremonies, and they would cut the calf, you know, do their religious ceremony because the calf, the sheep actually was organic. It had nothing added to it, and that was so rare, and the farmer actually allowed them to do their religious ceremony there because they couldn't do it with any other sheep around this area because they're all injected or what. And these sheep were big, beautiful, wonderful, well-tempered. I mean, it was amazing, you know, as far as well-tempered sheep can be.
I want to just kind of go. I've got a lot of questions for you. I haven't had a chance to, since I've read your book and since I've been listening, there's been a lot of things I would ask you. And so if you don't mind, I've got a little bit, if you've got a minute.
Sure.
Okay.
You can also send me an email. We can talk on the phone.
I would like that, too. We did that way long years ago before you ever got on the radio, and I was telling you you ought to get on the radio. Do you remember that?
It's all because this whole curse is because of you?
We've had our disagreements along the way, too, but your entomology is pretty hard to argue with. It really is. I appreciate that as much as anything. And I, in my opinion, just as if, you know, I mean, like I said, we've had our disagreements, but I think you're the best researcher out there. And you go with what you believe. I've seen you. You've had to cut ties with people, and I've felt for you on that because I've also had to do it. You know, Jan, that was a hard deal. But I mean, what happened there? He got in debt with the, you know, the IRS or whatever, and he started. Boy, did he start going the wrong way. You know, got Alex Jones on there in the whole nine yards, and
he get in bed with the devil, man. That's
yeah,
yeah.
And what happens. Some of the stuff he was spewing on there, and I thought he was a solid guy, so that hurt my feelings a little bit too. But okay, anyway, so who is this character in the Bible, Yahweh, in your opinion?
You know, there's a great documentary that I highly recommend everybody watch. Hopefully you can find it. It's on YouTube, and it's called, literally, it's called The Name of God. And Yahweh is, I believe it's a mistranslation, or it's something that was created so that it takes you away from the actual name of God. And if you don't know the name of God, then, you know, you can't really, again, if you don't know the difference between Jehovah and say Theos, which means God-like, or Elohim, which means the gods, the Babylonian gods, etc., or Archon, or all these words that got translated into the word God, you must differentiate all those terms that are used in the Bible, translated but purposely mistransliterated, if you will, by the king, so that you think that men, that God is always men, you know, the bad things that men do are actually God doing them. But the only time that it actually speaks of God in the sense of the highest, you know, being is Jehovah. And sometimes it says Jehovah, but sometimes it also says Lord or God, capitalized, all capitalized, that kind of thing. So that documentary called The Name of God is the absolute best documentary on the subject I've ever seen. And you will come out of there and you will understand what the difference is between all these different names that are essentially, you know, wrong. And when I say Jehovah, I'm using the sort of guttural language that dates back to the, you know, even before Hebrew, to that YHVH, you know, the mm-hmm. you know, so I'm saying Jehovah because that's the easiest way to say it. It's not meant as anything except a term that has a specific meaning as described in all the concordances and all the old texts. And it's really the same, I think, in every religion. except that every religion has taken us away from that meaning, again, mistranslated on purpose.
Right. Well, one of your talks that I also really appreciated was "What is a Jew?" And, you know, we had the former prime minister before old Bibi Netanyahu, he said a Jew is anyone who says they're a Jew, right?
Absolutely. Which is why you had a bunch of black Ethiopians. That's why you had a bunch of black Ethiopians that came over to Israel and said we're Jews. Of course, they forced them. Yeah, we're going to force sterilize them because they're saying they're Jews. Well, that's our fault. We said anybody can be a Jew that says they're a Jew. And that's why I keep trying to tell people, you know, the Queen of England is a Jew in the true sense of the word. All the royal families are Jews in the true sense of the word, which is it's not a religion. It's not a race. It's not, you know, it's actually the fallen people, the worldly people, the people of secularism, that they're not Israelites. The Israelites were a people, not a place. Right. So Israel has nothing to do. Modern Israel has nothing to do with anything in the Bible. There is no Jewish people except to say that there is a organized crime syndicate that calls themselves Jews or doesn't call themselves Jews, but acts the part.
Right. Yeah. And that explained an awful lot to me. But I guess where that forced me to go was where did the originals come from? I think they usurped the name of Jew. I don't think that the original, you know, villains, whatever you want to call them, were necessarily Jews. They just took over their name and they became the scapegoat.
No,
right?
See, that's the thing, is there was no Jew in the original Bible. There's no word that was a Jew. The Jew, as far as I understand it in my research, are the Israelites, who were the people that they weren't, it wasn't a nation, it was a people, in other words, a church, like we're talking about, that followed the law of God. And the Jew were the people that fell and became corrupted, worldly, secular, and that's why they're called the Jews, and that's why they're only in the old law, which allows usury and all these different things, because they're worldly as opposed to divine, you know, of nature, spiritual, that kind of thing. And, you know, this is not, you could say all kinds of things about, you know, anti-Semite, even though Semite means Arab. You know, you could say all these different things, even though their own encyclopedias say, you know, that there's no evidence that a Jew is a Semite. You know, okay, you can say whatever you want to shut down the argument. The point is, you know, there is no Jewish, there is no such thing as a Jew in regards to saying, say, Indian or Chinese, or that there is no Jewish people. It's a lie, or it'd be like saying I'm a Crip or I'm a Blood or I'm a whatever gang you're in. And the important part to realize is that the what we're called Jews specifically can have no nation. I mean, if you're a Christian or a Jew, you cannot be of a nation, and that's defined very specifically. You're specifically a, if you will, a nomad, or you're not in any secular government. You can't be a national and be a Jew, and that's why the Jews who are so-called Jews who are, you know, actually religious, which is maybe 15% of them, say no, we don't accept Israel because we can't, we don't accept Jesus as our Savior, and we don't accept Israel the state because our Savior hasn't come back. We can't have a nation until our Savior comes back. So the whole thing is just, you know, let's be clear too. Who conquered Palestine? It was England. And back in the 1200s, about 1215, I believe it was, England, the kingdom, they lost the kingdom of Jerusalem, which is what it used to be called under English rule. And it was Queen Elizabeth at the time, not the modern Elizabeth, but the old Elizabeth. They lost the kingdom of Jerusalem, which was under the English crown, if I'm saying that right, for the time. You can look that up. Just look up Kingdom of Jerusalem, and you can read all about the English rule. So who was it that defeated Palestine? It wasn't the Jews, unless you consider that that the English crown is the Jew, quote right. unquote, the secular, you know, New World Order, as we're saying.
Well, so, you would easily argue that, well, you already have, actually, you said that earlier, is that all of royalty, all of these bloodlines, they are the true Jew. So here's the next question, just along that line, is where did these villains, whatever you want to call them, these forces of darkness or whatever, where do you think they got this knowledge, this understanding, this power
I always tell people to go watch the Book of Eli. Did you ever see that movie?
Yeah.
Well, what's the story of the Book of Eli? That it's complete apocalypse, right? Very few people left alive. Everything's ruined. Nuclear waste, all that stuff. And here's a guy who's older and remembers the power of religion, the power of the Bible, and he seeks the Bible, but he doesn't teach his people to read, kind of like the Catholic Church always says stuff in Latin instead of English, because they don't want people to know what the Bible actually says, because it would say, don't be part of a church, a corporation, right? Don't have a false god like the Pope, who claims to be able to change the Bible or the God's word anytime he wants, right? So you've got these people who understand the power of religion in a negative sense, and who keeps their people, just like in America, very ignorant, very unknowledgeable of old languages, which they still use. I mean, if you go to court, the judges are still speaking in Latin. They're just doing it in English, right? But you don't know that because you think, you know...
Because when Latin is a dead language, Clint, haven't you heard?
Right. It's the language of death. In other words, legalism, right? So we don't know what we're saying when we say it, because, of course, again, we speak truth when we speak, or we try to, but legalism has no truth. So we're generally kicking ourselves in the ass, because we don't know what we're saying, and we're getting ourselves in trouble, which is why we can't ever win in court. So, I mean, the problem is, you know, the Jews, so-called, that go to Israel, they don't have any knowledge. I mean, my cousin married a Sephardic Jew, really, really smart guy, really cool guy, had that darker complexion, and he didn't even know the history. I mean, I knew more than him about Judaism, because it's secularism, it's Talmudism more than anything, and it's you know, Talmud is their civil law. It has nothing to do with religion. So the whole thing is... The whole thing is bullshit. The Jews don't understand that they are the goyim in Israel, those who go there and become citizens of a nation that shouldn't exist because their savior hasn't come back. So, anyway, hold on. We'll be back.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.